This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Communist China has sold Americans a dazzling array of counterfeits and forgeries, including copyrighted books and music, expensive fashion apparel, and prescription drugs with ingredients that kill. China's latest venture into fakery is fake alcohol. The counterfeiters collect empty bottles of genuine alcohol, refill them with a cheap substitute from who knows where, and then resell this counterfeit alcohol to popular bars and restaurants in Beijing. The police discovered 37,000 bottles of this fake alcohol ready to be delivered. China's fake alcohol is generally made from one of three bases: ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze, which attacks the kidneys and heart and is potentially fatal; methanol, which attacks the retinal nerve and can result in blindness; and isopropyl, that's the name for rubbing alcohol. The China Bee Products Association claims that half of all honey sold in China is fake. The final Harry Potter movie was available in Chinese bookstores before it was released by the publisher. Beijing shops sell fake Gucci. One reporter saw a gift shop selling a suitcase full of fake U.S. $100 bills. Now let me give you an update on how Communist China is replacing the United States as the world's car maker. The company we all used to know as General Motors, which after it was bailed out by the U.S. taxpayers is now informally called Government Motors, recently announced it will build a billion-dollar factory to manufacture Cadillacs in Communist China. Of course, the U.S. corporation had to get permission from Chinese communist authorities to build its factory and had to make it a joint venture with the Chinese company. Even the Wall Street Journal criticized GM for investing so many billions of dollars in China after getting bailed out by the U.S. taxpayers in 2009.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Our infrastructure is failing and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to supernaturalsilver.com. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
RBN is having the end-of-the-year pledge drive. To encourage listener support, for donations of $100 or more, you get an RBN coffee mug and a T-shirt. You can mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can donate online through PayPal or make a donation via phone by calling 800-724-2719. All donations are greatly appreciated and needed. Please make a donation today.
This is The Stateless Man for the pursuit of individual liberty beyond arbitrary borders, oppressive governments, and myths of national obligations. If you value liberty and are willing to migrate and vote with your feet, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to The Stateless Man. This is Fergus Hodgson broadcasting live from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, actually in Pembroke Pines. It's my pleasure to be with you, pursuing liberty beyond borders. And we are, pursuing international living, financial independence, and personal sovereignty. Thanks so much for tuning in. I want to go, we have an interview that I have to get right to. It's a recorded interview with Rodney Hyde, an openly anarchist government minister. And we have limited time before the break to squeeze that in, so I want to go straight to that. I'll pick you up after the break. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on your great show.
It's our pleasure. Now, just for a little bit of background, I know you were an international man and you studied in Montana a few years ago, so you have your experiences are much more, you could say, prescient or relevant to this audience. What motivated you originally to go back to New Zealand and then, after a few years back, into politics?
Well, I was always interested, I think we all are in a way, about trying to make the world a better place. So right from a young age, you're sort of, interested in doing your little bit. And I got very interested in science at high school.
Right.
And back in those days, the environmental movement was just taking off. And, of course, I read all the books, probably age 15 or 16, and got sucked into believing that we were running out of resources or poisoning ourselves or, causing ecological collapse. And so I went off to university to study science and to save the world.
Right.
And along the way, I became very disillusioned with science. I was basically a socialist. I don't think genetically I'm predisposed that way, but in New Zealand we have a socialist-run education system, and so the curriculum reflects that.
Sure. I'll just note as a little bit of context that in New Zealand there are no private universities, so it basically is all socialist or a collectivist policy.
Sure, and the primary schools and the high schools sort of reflect the same sort of socialistic ideology, and so I just thought that was, we needed planning and welfare was the greatest invention of mankind. But I don't think I ever instinctively was there. And so when I got into studying science, I became, within a few years, very disillusioned. And the reason being was that the science was all run by the government. Basically, government funded all science in New Zealand.
Mm.
And it was very political, and I just didn't like the politics of it. I would have still called myself, looking back on it, my outlook was very socialistic, but I just didn't like the idea of working for a government department. So I left and went overseas for a few years, working in different jobs, and then I came back to New Zealand, and then I studied again environmental science and did a master's, and that got me interested in economics and also the philosophy of science. And then I came across the works of Karl Popper, of Friedrich Hayek, of von Mises, and these men had a profound effect on me. And so at the same time within New Zealand, This is in the mid-1980s. We were having our own Thatcherite or Reagan revolution.
Sure.
So we were moving from a heavily regulated economy to a deregulated one. And that was a very challenging time for people who are interested in public policy.
Yeah, just if you want to back up there a little bit, when did you go and study in Montana? And when did you encounter...
That was later.
When did you encounter the writings of Hayek and the like?
1980s.
Okay.
So I came across, first of all, my interest was actually the philosophy of science. And we were building, it's quite apposite really, given the whole harumph about global warming. We were developing models for the optimal depletion of coal in New Zealand. And so we had, back in the day, these fancy computer models. And I was interested in how you would determine whether a model was any good or not. Because it seemed to me that we could make an infinite number of models, and they could fit any amount of data. But what told you that a model was any good? And people were very in awe of computers. And that got me into the philosophy of science, and that led me to read Karl Popper's Logic of Scientific Discovery, and I was so enamored of the book that I then read his Open Society and Its Enemies. And that had a big impact on me, and of course I read everything that Popper had written, and that led me to his colleague and friend F.A. Hayek. And, you know, from then I was a Dunberger, really, because I felt like I was coming home. And that's what I mean. I'm an instinctual individualist and a person that rates personal responsibility very highly, and I'm always skeptical of crowds and of groupthink and of committees. And then I taught at university. I taught environmental science, and then I went to Montana, and I did a master's at Montana State University, which was fabulous. I met a lot of free market people there who looked after me. Terry Anderson, Rick Stroop.
Right. Actually, we have a mutual friend there. Rick Stroop and I worked alongside each other at the American Institute for Economic Research, and he's now based in North Carolina, but I know he spent many years, you could say, in environmental economics based up in Montana.
So I was very lucky, and then I came back to New Zealand, and I basically had lost interest in teaching economics. I went and worked in corporate in a merchant bank for a while. And then we had this swap in New Zealand from a first-past-the-post electoral system to a mixed-member proportional system, which I opposed.
Huh.
And I got so angry that we ended up with MMP.
Right.
That I got involved to teach the lefties a lesson.
Sure.
Because I thought, well, if the left think that they can make this proportional system work for them, why can't those of us who favour freedom make it work for us? And that's hence the establishment of the ACT Party.
Right.
And I was the sort of founding president of that. And I had never intended, I never used to vote.
Sure.
just because I didn't want to encourage politicians. I had never been on a committee in my life. They put me on one when I was absent at the university, and I made such a hash of it that they never put me on another committee ever again. And so I had no intention of going into politics. So funnily enough, I couldn't think of anything worse.
You were involved with starting the party. You wanted to...
Yes.
Okay.
And then the pressure basically... Well, not the pressure, but, you know, the thing came on that, well, hang on, we've got to get this party going. And I thought, well, maybe I'll give it a go and I'll put my hand up. And then you get excited because, you know, naturally you're competitive, and so if you're in the game, you want to win.
Sure.
And so I stood, and I got elected to Parliament. And funny enough, I loved it. I didn't expect to. I went to Parliament, and I absolutely had a ball. And I felt all the time that I was operating behind enemy lines, you
sure.
know. And I spent 15 years in Parliament. I became a minister. I was a leader of a party that formed a government. And I had a fabulous time involved in politics and understanding politics. Interestingly, I'd noticed with the politicians who were, just about everyone else actually, who was left-wing, they just got more and more depressed every day that they were in politics.
Wow.
And I just became more and more positive. And what was happening, I believe, was they were looking at the world and trying to make government work and, of course, failing miserably.
Hmm.
And every time I looked around and saw another government cock-up, it just reaffirmed my belief in why government sucks, really. And I make the joke, I say that I went in as a libertarian and I came out as an anarchist.
Right.
Because I actually don't even think that limited government is viable. And my ideal was no government.
Right, that's an ongoing divide, particularly here in the United States. There's this, you could say, sometimes heated divide, because the problem is that even if we believe in a limited government, then we start debating with each other about what form that should be. Do we believe in school vouchers, or do we believe in closed borders? And we start fighting each other and get distracted from actually reducing the government often. We're approaching the first break. So I just want to say, we're speaking with Rodney Hyde, former minister and member of parliament in New Zealand with the ACT Party. He's now retired from that position. You don't want to miss any more of this. Stay tuned to The Stateless Man.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan, here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends would be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man. We're pursuing liberty beyond borders. That is international living, financial independence, and personal sovereignty. We're speaking with one of the most outspoken and prominent liberty-minded political commentators and former politicians from New Zealand, a role model in that regard. And his name is Rodney Hyde. Just before the break, I mentioned the fact that within, you could say, people who are liberty-minded or concerned about a freer market, there is this dispute about whether you should have what is, for lack of a better term, minarchism or minarchy, as opposed to anarchism or no government. And just during the break, he mentioned that he has some strong opinions on that, and I know he's been following, you could say, the advocacy realm of the liberty movement for a long time, so he can comment on it. Do you want to continue that observation?
Sure. Look, nothing upsets me more in the libertarian movement than sort of arguments over foundational principles and whether one's an objectivist or a classical liberal or sure. whether one's an anarchist or whether you believe in natural rights or, you know, I love that as a debate and as a discussion. And I think it's, you know, look, we're individualists. And so when I say I'm an anarchist, that's what I am. You know, that's who I've got to in my head. That's where how I'd like to live. That's what I think would be the ideal society. I don't try and persuade another human being of that view any longer, you know?
Hmm.
Because I'm not into collectivist action. It's the reason the left are so miserable is they can only succeed if they persuade every, you know, or the majority of human beings to agree with them, or they achieve some sort of insurrection. The great thing about being a freedom lover is actually you can live it every day, even in a very, very unfree world. You can actually, you know, remove your mind from the collective mush that goes in the media and which the politicians dish us.
Right.
And live in a libertarian space in your head. You know, I'd still be a libertarian if they had me locked up in a prison.
If I may interject there, I'll just say one thing, and maybe you reaffirm this about that view about not bothering, you could say, evangelizing so much, is that, or just letting go of that, is just it's a peace of mind that you don't feel this ongoing need to be out converting people, much like you could say religious evangelists or political evangelists. You can have your views, but you don't feel this need to be controlling or changing other people, because obviously that is almost contrary to anarchism or libertarianism.
Absolutely.
To do so.
Absolutely, and that's actually ultimately the liberating view that I've come to, because, you know, I used to feel the need to convince everyone, and I actually think it's an insecurity that you're trying to prove that you're right and everyone else is wrong, and I've seen this with a lot of libertarians, that, you know, they get into an argument, you know, equivalent to how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, and then start quoting, you know, tracts of work and page this, and they said this, and they said that. So to me, I think the great thing about being a freedom lover, a libertarian, is that actually you don't require collectivist action to run your life or to base your world on it. Now when it comes to politics, and when it comes to public policy, and when it comes to think tanks and institutes, I've got a very simple rule. Is this policy, is this institute advancing freedom, or are they not? And that was, again, my mission in our parliament. Could I push ever so slightly, ever in a small way, the big elephant, and achieve a wee pimple of freedom? And that, to me, is a worthwhile thing. And so where people are wanting to get to in their end state, I find very good to discuss and to debate, because it helps thinking. But in terms of practical public policy and in terms of achieving what we want to achieve, anything that advances freedom is a good thing to my mind. For example, I would favour, of course, no government involvement in schools at all.
Right.
But I have to say that I'd love to have vouchers in New Zealand. That was my one mission I wanted to achieve, was to have vouchers in the New Zealand school system, because that would be such an advance over what we have now. What we're doing in New Zealand now is we have a wee trial with charter schools, and I consider that a huge plus. You know, it's like a wee chink in the Berlin Wall.
Well,
I don't head for perfection. I just go for things that advance freedom.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about the education in New Zealand, because it is a very strong monopoly. Even the private schools in New Zealand basically adhere to the same curriculums and the same teacher training. So there's very little room for choice in that realm. You say you grew optimistic about, or you reaffirmed your views by engaging in politics, and there was maybe an awkward departure. So do you want to discuss about how you perhaps didn't necessarily leave voluntarily?
Oh, no, no one does from politics. I mean, it's a great thing, really, because you have to fight like hell to get elected, and then you have to fight every day to sort of stay in parliament and in your place. Politically, you know, and such as your mindset is, you don't want to give your opponents the joy of seeing you leave. And so I think we tend to, in politics, stay on longer than we should. And I'd finally achieved, you know, my position of great fame and achievement. I was the leader of the party with five MPs. The government was dependent upon us to govern, and that meant that we could start to achieve our agenda. And my hope had been that I'd make sufficient headway, and then I'd set it up for the second term to introduce school vouchers.
Sure.
And but such as it was within sort of the party and circles, others thought they could do a better job, which was fair enough. And so they announced that they were, in fact, a former friend of mine, he was a former Reserve Bank Governor, Don Brash.
Mm.
He announced that he wanted the leadership. And I knew that, funnily enough, I could beat him.
Huh.
But I knew that if I had the fight, I wouldn't be able to succeed at the coming election.
Mm.
That I felt the fact that I was being challenged in such a public way by such a strong contender, that would damage me. And so I realised that, and it was a hard realisation to come to, it was over an Easter weekend, that I really had to stand down for, you know, the sake of the party. And so I stood down, and I was actually a bit worried because I'd been 15 years in Parliament, and I thought, I wonder if I'm like one of those prisoners, you know, that you've been in jail so long that when you get out, you don't quite know what to do with yourself.
Sure.
But again, it's been the best thing ever because I've enjoyed myself immensely. And it's allowed me to read more and also to gather my thoughts a lot about politics and about economics and about society and public policy, informed really by the experience. And quite often in politics, I didn't have the time to think and reflect sufficiently.
Yeah, one particular positive outcome from all of this is that now you have a name in New Zealand, people look to you, and you can speak your mind, people listen, so you have an audience. And I was just very impressed by the way you haven't hidden your views. You've basically just called it as you've seen it, which I'll just tell people, here in the United States, there are many people who go around calling themselves libertarians or anarchists, but in New Zealand, you might be the only person in the country.
Yeah, well, I tell the joke that I know of two anarchists in New Zealand, and I'm not sure about the other one.
Sure.
And, no, well, that's another great thing of the experience of politics, because I think in life, my experience was I was always worried about what other people think, and I was always concerned that they'd think well of me and reasonably of me. And, of course, you go into politics, and particularly when you're a leader of a political party, I actually won an electorate seat, so I had to worry about constituents. You had to be very, very mindful of, it became the professional obsession of what people think of you and what you say and how that'll impact on whether they will support you, because essentially you can't do your job if you don't get the support from the voters.
Right.
And obviously, when I was asked, I never hid the fact that I was a libertarian. But I never made a big song and dance about it either, because, you know, I knew that would get a journalist asking, oh, well, what about schools? And if you start talking about privatizing the schools in New Zealand, you'd be out on your ear.
Right. Welcome back to The Stateless Man. We're pursuing liberty beyond borders. Just hold there, folks. We've got to take a break from this interview. We'll be right back after the break.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We don't need no education. We don't.
This is The Stateless Man, and I'm your host, Fergus Hodgson. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're talking with Rodney Hyde. He is a former minister in the New Zealand government, and he was a leader of the ACT political party, which is... I'll explain more about that party after we finish chatting with him, but he... Once he left Parliament, he basically revealed that he was an anarchist and that he didn't believe in any government, that he said he went in as a libertarian but came out as an anarchist, and that drew my attention, and I wanted to get him on to discuss with that, from that perspective, is getting involved in this political realm a good idea? So I want to finish off that interview, then I'll be right back with you.
And so I had to be a bit careful. And so now that I've left politics, I suddenly look around and think, well, what does it matter? I mean, I'm not looking for support any longer. I don't have to, you know. My interest more is to set my thinking straight, and I write a column more often to set my own thinking straight rather than to set anyone else's straight. And I enjoy the fact that there might be one or two people that read them and think, gosh, you know, that's interesting. Maybe what I'm thinking isn't so absurd after all. And I also enjoy the fact that it enrages the left because I just like it when they get into a tizzy. So I enjoy nothing more than pointing out what a scam global warming is, because at the moment that's the thing that winds them up the most.
Right. Well, I'll just say that you are getting a lot of traction, and you can tell that by the number of comments. The initial article that introduced your position as a columnist in the New Zealand Herald is 106 comments, which suggests to me that it's got probably about 50,000 hits or views of that particular article. Now, just before we go, I mean, our time is limited, but do you have any thoughts on young people getting into the political realm? I often say that just focus on your own life if you want to live a certain way. Don't expect politics to change. As you mentioned, there's only incremental changes can come about. Would you have any thoughts for people who are considering it?
Oh, yes. By all means, do it. Look, I didn't admire politicians or politics, and for a long time I felt quite seedy as a politician because of my political outlook. And I got through that, and politics was a wonderful, wonderful experience because I got to meet so many people. I don't know whether I made a difference or not, but I developed my thinking enormously. And the great thing is now is I get into an argument with a lefty, and they can never say to me, oh, you don't know how it works. You know, you don't understand politics. I had a great debate on the radio here in New Zealand with a young Green Party member who's trying to get elected to Parliament.
Okay.
And he was astonished that I don't vote. And it was the most appalling thing that he'd ever heard, you see, that someone didn't vote. And, of course, I enjoyed it immensely because I was explaining to him how politics didn't matter that much and that in New Zealand we place far too much emphasis upon politics when what is actually happening is in the family and communities and businesses, and yet we focus on what politicians are thinking and doing. And I could do that and say that with some, if you like, legitimacy, because I had been a senior politician in New Zealand. If I had been an outsider hissing rocks, I would have just sounded like a disgruntled, failed politician.
Right, and you don't have to comment on this, Rodney, but I do know that right now the ACT Party in New Zealand is under serious pressure, and they're going to be looking to find a new leader. Are you willing to say whether you're interested in getting back into the ring?
No, I'm not interested, and I've explained to everyone that, you know, I never say never, but
sure.
I'm not at all interested. I don't think it would be good for the party or good for me or good for politics. And the reason for that is like anything that you do, you want to do it to the best, and that requires a huge passion and a huge commitment. And I know that if I went back a second time around, I wouldn't have that level of passion and commitment.
Sure.
And so I'm busy in the background helping others to make their mind up and put their name forward because, again, politics is a funny business. It's like, you know, fashion. It comes and goes. And so I had a great moment in the sun. I had a great time in politics. I, you know, got into government. I got to make some big decisions and push the boat out a bit. And then it passes, and then it's time for the next generation to step up. And I always encourage anyone that favours the market and free enterprise, if they're interested, to get involved in politics. I don't think you have an obligation to, but if you're interested, you should. Because the more people that we can get in any political party, the better off we'll be as a society. I'd love to have more freedom-loving people in Parliament.
Right. Well, Rodney, I want to say I really appreciate your views. Right, we had to finish it up there. Rodney Gay was very generous with his time, and I've got until the next break to give some reflections on his thoughts. And I was just thinking, too, that as I was listening to that interview, which we did about a week ago, I was just thinking that there's a lot of context that I perhaps need to convey to people, because I grew up in New Zealand and I left to go to college in the United States when I was 19, and then I went back for a few years. So obviously it's very familiar to me. I grew up when Rodney was prominent, and I got to meet him back in 2008 when there was an ACT Party campaign gathering in Matamata, this town about, I'm thinking, an hour or so out of Hamilton in a rural part of New Zealand. And at that time, I was very interested in getting involved, but I decided I just needed to be on firmer footing financially, and I left New Zealand to look for better prospects abroad. So if you want to
to call in, though, if you've got comments on what Rodney had to say, you're always welcome to do so. You can do so at 1-800-313-9443. But let me just give you a bit of context, because he mentioned MMP, for example, and this is an important, you could say, underlying element that allowed him to get into Parliament. In New Zealand, back in the 1990s, when I was a child, we still had a similar system to what the United States has in terms of actual elections. We had, it's called first past the post, where there are districts, and the person who gets the most votes in each district, whether it's a majority, minority, whatever, that person goes into Parliament. There was a lot of concern that did not fairly or accurately represent a diverse population or the constituency, that some people who happen to have the, you know, dominant view, let's say there's an issue where there are 60% of people who think a certain way, they might end up with having basically all the members of Parliament because that median voter had tremendous power. And so the thinking was to switch to a different electoral system, and there was a referendum on the matter, which included a range of options. One of them was just to stay the same, first past the post. And in fact, I think my parents were proponents of that. And I was this child. It was back, I would have been only 11 or 12 years old. And I was thinking, what? We need a change. I was debating with my parents even back then. So New Zealand went to, of the range of options, people chose MMP. And that's mixed member proportional representation, which means you actually get two votes, and it can get kind of complicated. Even people in New Zealand who do vote may not understand it, and there are holes open for gaming of that system, although I don't know that anyone really has. There are further complications in this process where in New Zealand there are actually seats set aside for ethnic people, the quote, Māori seats. That's a very problematic element, but it doesn't necessarily relate to Rodney's rise. What Rodney referred to was that once MMP came in, there was much greater room for minority parties to get into Parliament. It meant that, you get two votes. You get one vote for your electorate or your area, and then one vote for a party. And so long as a party won 5% of the votes or a single electorate, in terms of a person in an electorate, that party would have access to Parliament. And then, of all the parties who won entrance into Parliament, they would get their party vote percentage into the House. And so I think in its best position, ACT got around 8%. So they got, out of 120 people, they got, maybe about 10 or so members. Regardless, they did get some influence in New Zealand, even though they were an openly pro-market party. And that it also opened the doors to other people getting in. But we are approaching the break. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm going to explain a little bit more about the situation in New Zealand because it is obviously very close to me. And there's plenty to say about it. Don't go anywhere.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Our infrastructure is failing and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to supernaturalsilver.com. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man, pursuing liberty beyond borders. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're discussing the experiences of Rodney Hyde in elected office in New Zealand, and I had the privilege of interviewing him about a half an hour interview, and we discussed all matters of things, particularly, you know, the viability or value of actually engaging in the political realm. And Rodney came out after being in office or resigning from his position as an anarchist, that he believed that no government would be necessary or better than what we have, and also that he thought that people in New Zealand devoted too much time or resources to the political realm, and that distracted from family life, from business interests, from things which are much more productive or valuable. But at the same time, he said, if you have a personal interest, if you would enjoy doing so, go ahead. If you're a liberty-oriented person, join up and have the experience. And he spent 15 years in office, and he said it was a fascinating period of his life. He feels much better going out, and he says he thought he would be too accustomed, but in fact, it's the opposite. He's really enjoying life outside of the political realm. But, and what was I going to add to that? So yeah, he said he enjoyed it being out, and he does not plan to go back. I guess that's the news element of the interview. That right now in New Zealand there is a big there's a lot of scrutiny going on with that political party that he's been part of, ACT, or the Association of Consumers and Taxpayers, which began really back in the mid-1990s to be given the opportunity for minority parties to enter parliament in New Zealand. And so there's a lot of scrutiny because the current leader is basically, as far as I can tell, going to be stepping down because of corruption charges, which seem to be on the mark that he actually did engage in some fraudulent behavior. And there is a new potential candidate seemingly leading the pack. I'm not so up to date in terms of how many people are vying for this, but there's a man named Jamie White, and I've been in touch with him. We're going to be getting him on the show as well because, I've talked about this a lot, but the New Zealand presents one of the most liberty-oriented countries on the planet. Now, that shocks me to say. I feel almost uncomfortable saying it because I know New Zealand and it does not seem very liberty-oriented. It just indicates to me how so often and perhaps everywhere we have our backs against the wall as people who are conscious of liberty, of all various aspects, be it gun ownership, to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, whatever it may be, freedom of movement. So New Zealand is up there. According to the Fraser Institute and the Heritage Foundation and the Wall Street Journal, New Zealand is basically the freest, you could say, conventional state or conventional nation. The only two that really edge it out are Hong Kong and Singapore, which are really city states or island nations, which peculiar in their situation. So the you could say the ideal of liberty in New Zealand is so important because as almost everywhere seems to be going negatively, at least in the developed world, New Zealand is one place that I don't want to see crumble. And so, yeah, Jamie White, he is the potential replacement for Rodney Hyde, and he's been a philosophy professor at Cambridge University, and he's written a whole bunch of books on basically how politicians manipulate you. And I think it's I'm really glad that I may be able to get him on the show. Like I said, I have been in touch with him, and I've got my assistant pursuing him. If you have other people you want to recommend, you can always email me. It's Ferg, that's F-E-R-G, at The Stateless Man. And like I said, Jamie, we're looking to get him on. His books are Crimes Against Logic, Exposing the Bogus Arguments of Politicians, Priests, Journalists, and Other Serial Offenders, Free Thoughts, the Collected Columns of Jamie White, and Bad Thoughts, A Guide to Clear Thinking. And the Free Thoughts one, the Collected Columns, is his latest. And that's not correct. But in 2013 he published two books. The other one was Quack Policy, Abusing Science in the Cause of Paternalism. So he is not so well known in New Zealand, but he's obviously an intellectual heavyweight and someone that you'd want to get to know. I'm eager to hear more from him and to discuss not only why he wants to, what policies or why he's getting involved, but basically why he would let go of a now career in management consulting. He's moved on from being a philosopher to be working in the private sector. Why he would let that go in presumably a lucrative manner or fashion to going back and entering the political fray or descending into it, which is very difficult. And one element which may be important to consider as well is that in terms of understanding Rodney's story and you could say the liberty movement in New Zealand, is that we discussed this briefly, but New Zealand is not an individualist society at all. That is simply not the case. And the fact that it is more pro-liberty in terms of its policies is actually somewhat of an accident and an artifact of history that is almost the opposite of the case. That is to say that New Zealand was going downhill in terms of its national debt, its unsustainable policies, and therefore it had to go through a purging process. So it's almost irresponsibility led to the purge, which was very good. And people often ask me, is there a libertarian party in New Zealand and what is the promise there? And while ACT, the party that Rodney Hyde was involved with, was not openly libertarian, and that's why he noted in the interview that he didn't really wear it on his sleeve, and I didn't even know that he either went by the term libertarian, let alone that he was an anarchist. That was simply not known in public. And he could have been more vocal about it. He was a big celebrity. He was on Dancing with the Stars, kind of a joke, but he became very well known in New Zealand as a celebrity, and he did not release that. And just this one tidbit that I think is illustrative of the strength of the Libertarian Party or Libertarian movement in New Zealand, because firstly, like I said, I want to say that ACT, the party that Rodney was a part of, is not openly libertarian and has many, you could say, non-libertarian aspects, such as being, quote, tough on crime, when the crimes are things like drug use or whatever it may be. They're playing the political game, I guess, and that maybe they're succeeding sometimes, sometimes not. And the leader of the party, John Banks, right now, is hardly a libertarian man. I don't really want to say much about him, but I would never consider him in that mold. There is, on the other hand, an actual libertarian party called the Libertarians, with the Z on the end, and they have been around a while, I think since the mid-90s as well, and I used to get their email updates and follow what they were doing. And I will admit, I have voted in my life. When I was back in New Zealand in 2007, I think the election was in 2007, no, maybe in 2008 perhaps, I was thinking about who I should vote for, and obviously I wanted to support some sort of Liberty candidate. These days I can't vote, and I don't vote, I don't really worry about it. And I chose to vote for the Libertarians. This is in the, the Port Waikato district, I think. And there were about, I think, 37,000 or something, between 30 and 40,000 votes in my district, out of maybe 80,000 people or something like that. And the Libertarians Party received 17 votes. I'm not sure what that is in terms of percentage. Let's just say it's less than 0.1%. So basically what happened is that there was almost zero. I mean, the 17 of which was my vote, represented an extremely small minority, and I'm guessing some of those votes were just by accident. So that was the strength of the Liberty support, or vocal support for libertarians. So that is the big challenge right now in New Zealand, that although we have some policies which are pro-liberty and somewhat of a history of being more pro-liberty, it's not necessarily because the people want it. And the political party at play, the Libertarians, the only one that's actually vocal about being pro-liberty and using the rhetoric, which is not ACT, not Rodney's party, they have almost zero support. So that it's a big upward battle. It's not like going to New Hampshire where the motto is live free or die. So we have these parties with almost zero support. This may be changing with Jamie White going back there, the openly libertarian or pro-liberty philosopher, and that's why I'm so eager to follow that. I will, like I said, I'm going to do my best to get him on. Otherwise, we're going to have Guillermo Jimenez up next. He is on the columnist for the Pan Am Post, but don't go anywhere. This is The Stateless Man.
With financial